Greetings of love this evening to everybody here. I'm glad to be with you in this special service tonight. Appreciated the devotional period that we've heard already and the singing of those hymns. That song, Search Me, O God, has been a favorite of mine for many years. Just some memories come to mind as I think of that. Back in the time when I was either dating or we were newly married, I jotted down a few points on a little piece of paper. It's about a couple inches by a couple inches, a little square piece of paper. And the reason I know I was either dating or newly married is because I was, on that piece of paper, there's some things that indicate that I was thinking about a young lady, or maybe we were thinking about each other, and I wrote some stuff down there. And it happens to all be on the same piece of paper. But on that piece of paper, there was 8 points written. And that paper is laid on my desk for several years. And now and then I'll go back and read it. I don't know who gave these points. It was all written in another language, but it now and then I've gone back and reread what it says. And I decided, you know what? Tonight is the night that we'll use those points. And I don't know if I wrote them myself. I don't remember that, but neither do I know who to give the credit to. But for some reason, they seem to fit for the service this evening. And all the title is tonight is Practical Points of Self-Examination. Because that's in essence why we're here tonight. To examine ourselves, to see if we're in the faith. To see how our lives are in looking at the sacrifice of Christ for us and how we are walking or not walking in ways of discipleship and in obedience to our Lord and to His Word. So that's the kind of the history of this message this evening. Practical points of self-examination. And to me, they said so much, these 8 points, and we want to just look at them one by one. The first point I have tonight is, do not hide sin in your life, but if there is something wrong, confess it and forsake it. I'd like to remind us tonight that the Word of God says, be sure your sin will find you out. There was an evangelist of yesteryear who said that in many weeks of meetings, and he had a lot of meetings, he was not a Mennonite. He was of another denomination, but he said in many, many weeks of meetings, he would preach an entire night with that text and preach to sinners. Be sure your sin will find you out. And later in the same week, he would come and talk about sins that exist among the people of God and say again and preach from the text again, all over again, be sure your sin will find you out. And that is not, it has been that way ever since it was first stated in Holy Writ, and it still stands tonight. If we're living in sin, we can hide it for a while. We can deceive some people some of the time. We can deceive some people all the time, but we don't deceive God any time. Be sure your sin will find you out, and my sin will find me out if I'm living in sin tonight. The Bible says it so plainly in the Proverbs that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, will not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'd like to invite us to two verses actually in 1 Timothy chapter 5. You may turn there if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 24. It says here, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So if I tonight am living outside of God's will, if I'm living in sin tonight, I have the privilege this evening to send my sins beforehand unto judgment, confess them and forsake them. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I trust that we really, really believe that tonight. And send those sins before unto judgment. Get them taken care of before judgment, in other words, before we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the judge of all the earth who will do right. We have that privilege tonight. But some men, they follow after. Some men, some people refuse to confess their sin. Some people die in sin. And those sins are like a huge chain, a huge weight that carries with their soul. And at the judgment bar of God, it's all exposed, nothing hidden at all. It says here, likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand. Not all good works, do I believe, tonight will be known maybe during our lifetime. There's good things. There's things that we've done in secret, money that we've given when our right hand did not know what our left hand did, or vice versa. There's prayers that have been offered that maybe no one saw and no one heard, but they were things, there were good things. And someday, somehow, we'll find out that somebody was blessed. And some of that also happens as rewards are given at the judgment bar of God. I don't understand all of that totally. But if there was bad things, it says they that are otherwise cannot be hid. And I think some people will be surprised at the bad things that show up on their record if they have not heeded this verse, these verses. Be sure your sin will find you out. And if my sin and our sin, our sins will find us out if we're living in them. The good works are the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Second point tonight is, do not defend yourself. I was hearing about a story last evening. Brother and I were talking about some things that are happening in a certain setting, several states away from here, and he said that someone was confronted about a need in their life, and the first thing they did was denied it. It's been proven, it's been exposed, but no, not me. You don't have any idea. Defensive. And I'd like to remind us this evening that if we are intending to defend ourselves, truth doesn't need a lot of defense. Truth stands on its own. The true condition of our lives and hearts stands on its own. And there is such a thing as being falsely accused. That does happen. It's sad when it happens. It takes a lot of wisdom to deal with a situation where somebody is actually falsely accused. But truth will stand, and truth will win. Truth will win. Please understand that. It might make you look bad for a day or 10, and maybe for a while, but truth will always win. But if tonight we feel like we have to defend ourselves because of something, let's just remember that the way out of every problem, whether it's the first one point we looked at or this one, that honesty and humility are the way out of any issue in life. If we are honest enough to say it as it really, 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 really is, and humble enough to just take whatever comes as a result of it, that is God's way out of any issue in our lives. Number three, remember that we are stewards of God's things. We are not the rightful owners. For that reason, we should take care of what God has given us and be very content with it. Take good care of what God has given us and be content with it. We are stewards of God's things. We are not rightful owners. And one of the verses in the scripture that applies to this point that I think about often. When I think about the vehicle that we, or vehicles that we have, or I think about the, even taking care of the property where we live, it often goes through my mind, not only about those things, but you and I have an accountability with what we do with the heritage that we have received, with Bible teaching that we take for granted, the heritage of gospel teaching, what we do with the good news. We have a stewardship. And of course, it also applies to money and finances. But we are stewards of God's things, not rightful owners of those things. And the Bible says, the scripture that again and again comes to me is, give account of thy stewardship. And you know, I believe one day we will need to do exactly that. What have we done? How is that song about the little barefoot boy with the lunch in his hand and how the master taught him how to multiply? It says, hey there, Christian, walking through the land, what are you going to do with the word in your hand? There's hungry people waiting to be fed, searching for the water and the living bread. Do you have a Bible to give to somebody? Has that ever happened? Have you ever shared your testimony with somebody? Has someone ever asked you a question about some issue in their life, looking for help? Give account of the stewardship. We've received many things that we do not deserve, and so many things we've received that weren't even to our credit. We couldn't help, we were born in the home we were born into. We had no way of determining that. But God has been so good to so many of us in very, very many ways. The fourth point of self-examination tonight we want to look at is avoid speaking evil of others. Brother Brendan on Sunday morning had a devotional for us, and he talked very plainly about the use of our words. And what the power of them. And how did somebody say after the service, I heard this little quote floating around there, the tongue doesn't weigh much, but few people can hold it. Just seems like it's that way. And it's so easy to speak evil of others. The Bible teaches us, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And that happens. And it happens among the people of God sometimes. And it's such a sad, sad thing when people gossip. There was a panel discussion this past weekend that I heard about. And they were talking about the four panelists in a panel discussion talking about the inroads of the enemy into Anabaptist circles. And there were several of them mentioned, but one of the brethren that was on that panel discussion talked about the inroads and the destruction that gossip makes in the Anabaptist community. And we, in my own life, there is that tendency to pass on a story that is less than desirable. And the Bible teaches us in James chapter 5, verse 8. James chapter 5 and verse 8, it says this. I should have had verse 9, actually. Verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren. Why? Lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And I'd like to make us aware this evening that when we're speaking evil of others and just downgrading somebody and gossiping about them, it's not for their edification, it's not for their blessing, it's not for their improvement, it's for their demise. It's to kind of maybe lift ourselves up, if we use the term sometimes, lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but at the end of the day, it doesn't edify. The worst thing we can do if we've spoken evil about somebody is if we are confronted to deny it. And some people have done that already. And may God help us to stay away from that sin. If we have something to say to somebody, it's best if we tell them about it. If we have something to say to someone, it's best to talk to them about it. There is a way to speak the truth in love. And if we need to talk about somebody who is not present, one thing we can do is pretend that they're standing right here beside us as we say it. Because the Bible still says that the bird of the air will tell the matter, and that which is spoken in secret will be proclaimed upon the housetops. And it is so amazing how quickly a rumor goes around and gossip flies. It is almost the speed of light sometimes how quickly a story gets going that isn't true. But remember, the judge stands before the door. What would our words be like? We can't see through these doors over here, but what would our speech be like? What would our words be like? What would our thoughts be like right now if we knew that any second those doors would open? But do you know, it's just as possible that Jesus could return before this service is over. And sometimes I forget that. Maybe you don't, but I do sometimes. I honestly forget that very fact. I shouldn't, but the Bible says, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Point number 5 of self-examination. Do not take glory or credit to yourself. All glory and honor belongs to God. And remember that many people have contributed to our lives by teaching an example. You page back through the memories of your life. Who are the people who have impacted you? Who are the people who have been an inspiration and a blessing to you? Who are the preachers who have helped to shape and formulate your life? Those of us who are older can remember back to different people than the younger ones here can. However, we have nothing that we have not received. Nothing just is instinct of our own. We might have aptitudes, but somebody helped to develop those aptitudes. We might have a gift, but somebody has helped us to develop that gift. Isn't that the way it works? Do you know, someone has said it this way, that much, much more work would be done for God in our generation if we didn't worry about who gets the credit for it. And somehow this thing of that we were worried about who gets the credit, whether that person's got a step or three ahead of me in life or whatever. But what does it matter? At the end of the day, the Lamb is worthy. And the Lamb is the one who deserves all honor and glory and power and might. Be unto the Lamb for how long? Forever and ever. And we do well to attribute that to the Lamb tonight. Don't take credit to yourself. Whenever in leadership in a congregation, one brother spars against another from Sunday to Sunday and one tries to outdo the next one, and that is a sad day in church life. Whenever I'm in this thing that Brother Luke talked about 2 Sundays ago, or the Sunday before last at least, the one about self-sufficiency and competition and brotherhood, when I'm making my decisions just to kind of keep up with Brother so-and-so, and I'm trying to, and some people have totally run themselves bankrupt with that mentality. It doesn't matter what the other person is doing, if they're serving God and by love serving another person or many people, what does it matter if I'm doing the best I can and giving God the credit and the glory for any good thing that comes forth from our life, poor as it is? Number six, avoid doing anything or saying anything that is displeasing to God. Avoid doing anything or saying anything that is displeasing to God. The Bible teaches us that whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:17. Give God the glory. Do what's pleasing in his sight. And of course, this has to do with our speech as well. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. For what reason? That I might not utter any perverse thing before thee. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there again, speak to myself. There's a lot of room to grow in my own experience in this area. Number seven, points of self-examination. Be open to the Holy Spirit's leading, and do not quench the Spirit. Be open to the Holy Spirit's leading and do not quench the Spirit. That's one of the things that speaks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Quench not the Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit of God which is in you. How sensitive are we this evening to God's Spirit's working and prompting and leading in our lives? When we feel tempted to do this over here that is a deviant path from God's way, when we feel tempted to look over here and do this over here that we should not do, make this decision, it's going to take us in a wrong direction possibly. Do we feel conviction within us? The guiding light of God's Spirit nudging us and speaking to us. Do we know what conviction is when we have given a word that is not convenient, a word that is not proper? When we've spoken evil of someone, do we have this thing, a prick of the conscience to help us remember where we belong? Let's be open to the Holy Spirit's direction. Obey God's voice. Obey God's voice, first of all, through the written word. The written word. As we read the scripture, do we allow it to wash our hearts and minds? Sometimes whenever we have been in a place or a time when it's just a lot of temptation and a lot of evil, it just does us good to get away from the encumbering cares of life and just sit down and read the book for a while. Just let that water of the word do its work in our hearts. And allow God's voice to speak to us through his word. And as has been said many times already, I'm sure, if you want God to speak to you out loud, then read the book out loud. Read it. Let God speak to you. Let him speak to me. Heed that conviction. Sometimes I wonder if Holy Spirit conviction is what it ought to be in my own heart. A fear of sinning against God, a fear of going the wrong way, a fear of going down a path that would take me away from God. A conviction, an intense reality in my heart, a feeling of conviction. Do we know what it is in our lives? And then another way we can hear God's voice is listen to counsel of godly people. We can make our own decisions, yes, but sometimes it does us good to ask someone, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, what do you think of this? Somebody who has some establishment in the faith, someone who has walked the road a little farther than we have, ask them what they think of this. Before we just dive into something, does God have any word in this? Because whenever we ask for someone to help us, We have someone to share the load with, share the responsibility with, somebody to pray with, perhaps. Isn't that what God's plan is for his people? The last one I have this evening is be very careful about anything that would divide you or me from a biblical brotherhood. My dear friends, tonight we need to be very, very careful about anything that would divide us from a biblical brotherhood. There's some younger ones here tonight, and one thing that I like to do, one of my hobbies at certain times, is to split wood. And I tell you that to me, it fascinates me to get a splitting maul and look at a piece of wood, a knotted up, gnarly piece, a good old chunk of wood, and decide, how am I going to break this thing up? How are we going to make pieces out of this log? And I just enjoy studying that thing and watching, looking how the grains are and where the branches may have come into this trunk. I study that thing, and after a while, I start laying on that thing with a splitting maul. And you crack it, and you crack it, and little by little, you can start making pieces. And do you know what? There's nothing the devil delights in more when he sees a brotherhood of believers getting along well, and happiness and peace one with another. And he studies that thing and he decides, where can I make a crack on this log? Where can I make a two ministers just get torqued with each other? Two sisters just have at it one with another. What can I do here? The devil is delights in that and drives wedges. That's how I learned to split wood. When I was about 8 years old, I was being a little foolish one evening, and my daddy said, Virgie, come out here once. And he sometimes did other things when I was foolish, but that evening he said, you're going to learn to split wood tonight. I was 8 years old, and he said, here's a wedge, and here's a sledgehammer, a 10-pounder. A little 8-year-old boy, and you learn how to start that thing without mashing your fingers. Pound and pound and pound, and after a while there was two pieces of wood instead of one, and then you go back at it again. And that's how I learned to chop wood. But don't let wedges get between you and your brothers. Don't let wedges start between you and your sisters. The Bible has a lot of words to say about him that causes discord among the brethren. The Bible has a lot to say about it. It's among the seven abominations in the eyes of God, if you read the book of Proverbs, he that causeth discord among the brethren. May God help us to be very careful about anything that would divide us from a biblical brotherhood. And if Satan starts to drive wedges, recognize it as the work of the devil to divide. Now, there is such a thing as a need to separate ourselves from something that is not going to take us the right direction in life. And that is probably another subject. But in any case, we should not be sowing discord in the brotherhood, and be very careful about what would divide us from our brethren and sisters in the faith. These are a few points of self-examination that were on that paper, and I wish I knew who to give the credit to, because I don't think they were original with me, but I thought after several years of lying on my desk, they ought to be shared somehow in some way. So may God receive the honor and glory for it.